Good to be here this morning. I'm glad y'all all showed up. I don't know if I would enjoy preaching to myself, so I appreciate you being here. We was talking a little bit earlier about the differences in congregation, and I believe somebody said if there's two gathered in His name, He's going to be in our presence. Is that right? And so I'm just praising God that He is within our presence here. I'm also praising God that I got a little microphone here that I can actually kind of walk around a little bit. If I'm not careful, I'll try to hold myself back that I'm not walking down there and amongst you. Is that okay? I don't want to scare anybody off, but sometimes I get excited about God's Word, and we just want to allow God to do something amazing today. Is that all right? If you're here, you should be in expectation of a goodness that's going to take place. We are in a day of miracles. How many believes that? Phew. You scared me there. You hesitated, didn't raise your hand. I'm not trying to convert you to be a Pentecostal. I'm just looking for a sign of hands of y'all who believes in miracles, and I hope all of you do. I think it's a good thing to believe in miracles because God is a God of miracles. Amen? He's also a God of blessings. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. Whew, thank you, Lord, for mercy. I'm excited about that because I need all I can get. Amen? He's also a God of judgment, so we've got to be careful allowing ourselves to be kind of complacent or trying to just give in to all the good, even though God is good. God is good. But He's also a just God. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Praise God. I want to kind of, the sermon title that I gave so Deborah could put it in the bulletin is a little bit misleading. The title is, It Began or It Started at Christmas Time, or It Started After Christmas. But I want to just maybe say that's not totally correct. I don't do titles very much or sermon titles because usually my sermons are a little bit maybe broader than just one title. But I want to begin in Genesis, the first chapter, Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." And so I think it is something that we are looking forward. If I can read that one scripture, in the beginning, God. I like to, I've preached a sermon before and basically use that. In the beginning, God. That should be enough said. Is everybody agreeing with that? In the beginning, God. And I'm satisfied with that. So if we kind of begin to look and see what is really taking place, we just finished the Christmas holiday. I had too much food. It was a wonderful time to have my family, or most of them. It was a wonderful time to get together. It was a good time to play games and just enjoy each other's company. That's a good thing. But probably the most exciting part, an exciting part, is when we, FaceTimed. Anybody do the FaceTiming? You know, you get on the computer and got a little video. It's kind of get you talking to them face to face instead of just talking to them on the phone or whatever. But my grandkids and my oldest son Matthew and his wife Corey couldn't make it this week because of different obligations they had. But we got together and they was going to open up their presents and they put the camera up there where we could see them. It was a pretty exciting time. But the exciting part for me was when they wanted Grandpa, that's me. It's still kind of getting used to that, but I'm loving it. You know, if I'd known grandkids was going to be so great, I started there and just skipped the kids. How about your grandparents, you know what I mean? We could have just... We got there though, and they wanted Grandpa to read the Christmas story, and so I'm thinking somebody's doing something right. First of all, they're wanting to read God's Word. They're wanting somebody to read God's Word. The second thing is they're wanting me to read it. You know, they're still wanting Grandpa to do something. So, and it's not all about the presence. Man, I would tell you what, I'm not sure who teaches your kids here, but I was blessed when they begin to finish the scripture. For God so loved the world. And I look around and I see some of the adults, even in town, you know, you talking to them, and they've been going to church all their life, but they can't tell you any scriptures. You know, they maybe not even read the scripture at all. Maybe a little bit, you know, maybe just, well, yeah, that sounds familiar. If I can jump another little bit of rabbit, I've been in situations where I've been as a counselor of different places. The rehab center is one of them, and I would be talking to them and trying to share with them about different stories in the Bible, and they look at you kind of strange. And I would ask them, do you know who Adam and Eve is? Well, I think it's somebody in the Bible. And I think, how blessed that I am to be raised in a home that we actually read the Bible and knew about God. It just hurts my heart to think there are people out there that have never been, no one's has ever shared with them about the God's Word. And I think this is very special. It excites me, and there's so much in here that we should know, we should learn, and have a part of our life. Everybody all right with that? Be excited about that. This book, I don't know exactly what you believe, but it's not necessarily these pages, this particular book, but the Word of God that can come alive in our hearts and in our lives, that we get excited just to be able to read it. Story in the Bible that talks about they found the scriptures, or they found the scrolls or whatever. They found them in the temple as they was trying to clean it out, and they brought them out and began to read them. And people stood and listened to the Word of God and got excited and began to worship God just by the reading of the Word. We've lost that. We've lost that somewhere. And throughout the course of events, even in America, we are privileged to be. I don't know how many Bibles you got, but I've got this one. I've got I forgot how many different versions of the Bible on this thing. And I've got my phone that I can pull up the Bible. I can get it just about any time that I want it. We carry our phones, but we should be carrying the Word. All right? Now, if I can get back to my sermon. It started at Christmas. For me, Christmas is an important time of the year, not because I get presents. I told my sons this year, don't buy me anything. Don't get me anything. I don't need anything. I've got so much stuff now that I'm trying to figure out where to put it. That is terrible. Either I've got a small place or I've got lots of stuff. And you guess which one it is. I've got lots of stuff. And if I was to go around the room and ask you about your stuff, we would probably say we all ought to get together and invest in a storage unit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have lots of stuff. Now, I will tell you that my two sons back here, not sure how to interpret this, but before I begin to open a present, they said, well, you only halfway disobeyed you, because they went together and bought a present. So it's 50%, 50%, so each one of them halfway disobeyed. What's up with that? I mean, seriously, halfway disobeyed. But anyway, I got my present, was very thankful. But I'm telling you, I'm more thankful to know that my two sons here and my wife are in church with me this morning. And my other son and daughter-in-law and my four grandkids are in church down in the Oklahoma City. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to know that my daddy... I think I told you, didn't I tell you last time I was here that I was kin to Elvis? How many was here last time that I spoke? Do you remember me being kin to Elvis? Elvis Peck is my daddy, and he is in church with his wife and their family. And so, can you see that I'm blessed? I am blessed. So when Mr. Jett, he comes up and he says, "How are you doing?" It's not hard for me to say that I'm blessed because I have so much to be thankful for. I remember as I was growing up, as a small child and in a small church, not very many, and it wasn't because there wasn't enough room. It was a small congregation. And I can remember we'd try to get involved, and the songs that we would sing, not very many parts. Now, y'all did an excellent job, and Mrs. Jett, I tell you what, enjoy her singing. But we would sing songs, and I felt like me, as a young boy, had to do my part. Any of y'all, everybody, don't raise your hand, but everybody in here, you sang your part, right, when we sang the hymn? But I remember as a young boy wanting to do my part, and we would sing songs like, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus." It says, "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul." Hey, y'all know that song? Anybody? "It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole." And then I would kick in, and I would think, okay, we need a bass part. So I would see, "Now let us," and then I would think, okay, I got my bass part in, and now we're going to have some other singers, so it would do something like this. "Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, let us," you understand that I was trying to do my part, but it wasn't quite coming across. I found out you can't do all parts in any song. Can I get a witness from a choir director, the teacher? You know, sing your part, do your part. Don't worry about everybody else's parts. And so as I've grown up, you know, and I probably still try to do other people's parts, and God forgive me, you know, we get excited about wanting to do so much and get excited about do it, and then we end up working on other people's parts and maybe they get frustrated because leave my part alone. I'm going to make a point here in a minute, so y'all just hang on, okay? I'm looking at the clock, so y'all don't have to. And so I was saying, "No, let," and then just, you know, and it would mess it all up. Thinking that I was being helpful. And in certain, that particular setting, they forgave me because I was little and trying to do my part. But we get caught up on trying to do our part. It's not a bad thing. We're trying to do other people's parts. As a young man, I was telling Mr. Jack a while ago that... you know, there's sometimes that God speaks to me. I hope to think that He speaks to me a lot. But I remember one time that I was preparing, as a pastor of a church, I was preparing for Sunday or Wednesday, whatever the case may be. I was preparing for the class. I was preparing for the sermon that I had to preach. Not necessarily a bad thing, but that's the only thing I was getting done. And I can tell you right now before everybody that I believe that God spoke to me and He says, "You know what? If you will just study and just prepare your heart." The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved." Okay? So if you will just do your part and study the Word of God and just not worry about trying to prepare for a particular sermon, but if you will just do your part and study God's Word and get it into your heart, then when Sunday comes, I'll let you know what you want to preach. Nothing wrong with it. I've got some notes up here. Nothing wrong with preparing, but we need to be preparing our heart instead of worrying about making sure it sounds good. Now, I'm going to tell you, coming into from my church to this, to a different church, to different denomination, we do things different. Anybody believe that? Little traditions here and maybe different ways we do things. Maybe you get the point. And so as I come in here and I preach to you guys, I believe that what God's got for me this morning is to tell you what I'm going to tell you. But it's just a little bit unnerving to come in and think, okay, what if you do it the wrong way? What if you say something that offends? What if you don't do the way they do? And so then my heart begins to tremble a little bit. My nerves begin to tremble and I begin to get a little anxious and I begin to go back over my notes. Okay, well, that's God's Word, so if it offends them, well, guess who you got to blame? Okay, that's God's Word, so it's going to be okay. I believe that's what God has put in my heart. So if that's what God has put in my heart, then it shouldn't offend anybody. And if it does offend anybody, it's not for me to do anything. It's for whoever received it and was offended. Everybody okay with that? I believe everybody in here is probably a seasoned Christian. We've got some good people. You mentioned in Sunday school class I forgot how you put it, but the steadfast. You've been Christians for a long time, so you're not going to be offended at anything I say. Is that all right? Praise God. I'm going to move on then. So as a young man, just a little talk with Jesus came out across. Well, now I try to let the people sing their part, and I just sing my part, even though I'm not sure what my part is. But let's just move on. Let's go to John, the third chapter. I shared it with the children this morning. John 3:16. It's a good scripture. John 3:16. And everybody in here probably knows it. I told the children that we could go back and look and see if there's anybody that knows it. And I won't put you on the spot. But it says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we look at that and we after Christmas, it began at Christmas, where in reality it began a long time ago, and God decided that we're going to help you out. There's some stuff going on in the earth, and we need to make a way that they can be forgiven. You know, Romans, it tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says, for the wages of sin is death. And I praise God that He didn't stop there. But He says, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so you got to get the Word of God in you and say, I'm excited about what God is telling me. Even when He tells me that I need to change and do right and quit going out on my own. I thought it was good in our Sunday school class this morning talking about David. And I believe that David went out on his own a lot. And the Old Testament God, he went out on his own a lot and messed up. And I would love to tell you that David messed up, and I didn't. But if I was to go and ask each one of you, we could probably come up with an incident or an instance that I messed up. But I praise God that I could go back to the Word, and He says, but His gift is going to restore me. Romans, it says something like this. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. Praise God, I don't have to die and be sacrificed, but I can come to Him and become a living sacrifice. I can change my ways. I messed up. Boy, how many times have I messed up? But I can go to God and say, I messed up. And He says, yes, but I forgive you. I forgive you. And I can say, thank you, God, that I have a forgiving God. I have a just God that is going to cleanse us. I have a just God that is going to judge sin. Judge Jed here, I'm sure he faces some people, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to say that maybe in his heart he was saying, I wished I could forgive everybody and not judge anybody. But there are some times that he has to put the law down and say, this is what you've done and this is the consequences. And I believe Jesus is the same way. My God, he comes to me and he says, this is the consequences. Even though I can forgive you, there's still consequences. And I can look at God's Word and I can still be blessed because he forgives me from all my unrighteousness. He gives to me a blessing, even though it may cause me just a little bit of maybe embarrassment or a little bit of pain I got to go through, but I know the end result is going to be a blessing. Is that all right? Praise God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... I used to have a pen that I wore that says, I'm a whosoever. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It doesn't say that whosoever is perfect and does everything right and never has sinned and has done everything they're supposed to do and has never hurt anybody's feelings and never spoke bad about anybody, has never done anything that can be judged, but it says, whosoever believeth, so I can believe on him and he restores me back into right thinking. Praise God. Praise God. I beseech you, brethren, let me go with that a little bit. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable before him. The second verse says, be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed. You got to go through the process of, okay, God, this is a flesh, I mess up. And then I can say, but I want you to forgive me. And then God does the transforming. And I don't know how to explain it. But when I mess up, as David messed up several times, I don't know how to explain it, but he brought them back into a fellowship. He's brought us back into a fellowship. And it started, if I'm going to use my title, it started at Christmas when Jesus was born. And there was something that came to the earth and God presented him as a way that we could accept our salvation was complete, or our salvation was an opportunity for us to get out of that sin that we were so committed to, and he gave us a way out. If I believe on him, he says he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is that? 1 John. He gives us the opportunity, and it all started, I believe it started in the beginning, God. But for our talking this morning, it began at Christmas when the baby Jesus came and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he laid him in a manger. Think about this. We sing about it. Think about this. Jesus was born. You know the story. He's born of a Virgin Mary. They went to Bethlehem to sign up and get make sure they was everything was legal. They go in there, they check all the inns and the motels, Motel 6 and 7, Motel 8. They went to the Hampton. They went to all these different ones. Nope, everybody's full. We was traveling one time from Oklahoma City to Amarillo, and we checked about, oh, I don't know, we had to spend the night, several motels trying to find that no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. Finally found this, if I described it to you, you might recognize it, but I'm just going to tell you, we found this motel that finally there was a room and we checked in and went to the room and began to look around, and they didn't have a pest problem. no roaches or anything because they were afraid to stay there. You understand how bad it was? The rats didn't want to stay there. And we began to talk, and Teresa even said, "We're not getting underneath the covers. We had some blankets. You just lay on top of the it was that bad." And I thought how Jesus or how Mary and Joseph had thought, there is no room for you in the nice beds, but we're going to put you out in the barn, or we're going to put you out in the stable, and you can sleep. Unless it had been cleaned out recently, you're going to sleep where the animals are, and you just have to put up with the smell and whatever. Anybody ever had to clean out stalls of horses or cows or anything? We used to have show cattle, and every once in a while you'd have to go in and kind of fix things up. So I can't imagine it being very pleasant. And then Mary was the Bible talks about it was the time of birth. So we're looking and we're seeing that it was not the great, it was not the greatest situation. And so Mary had the baby, but now watch this. There were shepherds in the countryside that was watching over their sheep, and an angel appeared to them and said, "Hey, you know what? There is a baby, a king that is being born as we speak." You understand? It didn't have anything to do with the appearance and the smell. It didn't have anything to do. But there was a king that was being born. And we, you know, I think you ought to go see him because it's pretty exciting. And the angel said, you know, we sing, what is that song? "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth. Peace on earth." Man, this kid, he's born in a barn, or born in a stable. They put him in a horse trough, in the feed trough, so he could rest, you know. But we're saying glory to the newborn king. He's got so much going for himself. And so at Christmas it started. Jesus was born. It was completing what was started in the beginning, God. He got to the point, now we're going to give you the opportunity to receive salvation. And it's going to start with a baby, a child. And he's going to be put in a feed trough instead of raised to the level that the people thought, you know, going to be born a king into royalty. But it was born and laid in a manger. But the angels knew what was going on. And then a host of angels singing glory to God. Glory to God. I want us to be excited about what is taking place. What happens after Christmas. What we've come to the place. I look out and I'm telling you, nothing against this church, because every church, mostly every church in town, is facing the same situation. There used to be a lot of people, 168, I believe is what he said in December a few years back. But now there's not 168. There should be, because glory to God, there is a king that has been born, and he has given to us the opportunity to receive that salvation. That is such an awesome message that we should be excited about. And so when we come together and we say, you know, when we can bring the up here and you can say the same thing, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I should be getting excited, and I should be jumping up and down and be excited about that. In Psalms, a lot of times it says, "Shout to the Lord," or "I sing to the Lord." I believe it's Proverbs says, "I give to you a new song daily." Every day, I give to you a new song. And my prayer is, God, let me learn the tune or the song before the day is out so I can sing it in praise to you. So when somebody says, "How are you doing?" Instead of saying, "Well, we used to have a couple in our church down in Texas that my dad pastored," you promise you didn't want to ask them how they were, because they would describe and explain to you all the different ailments they had and tell you graphic details, and you're just sitting there thinking, "Okay, I wished I hadn't been in this place. You understand? But we should be excited. Okay, my back hurts, my leg hurts, but I can still sing praises to God. I may be laying in a manger. I may be in the stable. I may be stinking around me. There may be no room for me anywhere where all the good people are at. But there should be a place that I'm in the presence of God, so I should be excited. I should say, unto you, unto me is born this day in the city of David. A Christ, or the Messiah, or the one that's going to come and deliver me, not necessarily from the rules of man, but he's going to deliver me from the rules of the devil, and he's going to be able to raise me up, and I can be excited about what's going on. In the presence, or in the heavens, because there's an excitement. Did you know the scripture talks about when somebody gets saved that the angels rejoice? But most of the time, when we have an altar call, or when people come and hopefully you've led somebody to Jesus and you let them pray and ask for forgiveness, and we should be excited. But a lot of times we just say, okay, there you go. Now figure it out from here. And the angels are having a party in heaven. They're excited that somebody came to Jesus. Are you getting it? What I'm trying to say is we should be excited about what happened after Christmas. I should be excited about my little grandkids. I am excited about my grandkids loving Jesus, and they're learning about God. You just don't know how I was blessed when the young people, the little ones up here, begin to finish that scripture. So I applaud whoever is teaching them, whether it's the parents or the teachers here at the church. I applaud them for sharing the Word of God. I applaud them to let them know what happened after Christmas. Anybody in here get a present for Christmas? Praise God. Even though my sons disobeyed me, okay, I was blessed to receive those gifts, but I'm more blessed to receive the salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, I don't quite understand that. He said, how can I go again into my mother's womb? He said, no, you don't understand. I'm not talking about the natural thing. I'm talking about something spiritual. And so we need to begin. And the Bible talks that we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. Is that not right? We should be getting excited about not necessarily what we're here on earth. I am not a multimillionaire. I am not rich in the natural things. But I'm telling you what, I'll put my blessings up against any. Bill Gates has nothing on me because I am so blessed. And you should be thinking the same thing. I look around and see my grandkids, my kids, my family, my dad, my heritage. My daddy called me. I've got to jump this rabbit real quick. My daddy called me back just before Thanksgiving. Actually, I think it was on Thanksgiving. And he was sharing with me. Got me to crying. I'm telling you, this boy don't mind crying, but it was 65 years ago, Thanksgiving Day, 1954, I think it was. Or he said that's when he turned his life to Jesus. He said he told Jesus, he said, I'm tired of running. It's not exact words, but I'm tired of running. He had a drinking problem. He smoked and he did all this and he just really didn't care. But he said he confessed Christ and turned his life. He said, I want to worship you. I want to serve you, God. And I'm going to lay all this stuff down that I've been doing. And he began to serve Jesus from that point on. And so, praise God, I was raised in my daddy, my Christian home. I hope you can all say that. I wish everybody could say that. But I was so blessed. I began to cry and think about my daddy, about the things that I have learned from him. All of it good, good times. All I mean, Were we blessed throughout the, well, we were blessed, but did we have everything? Did we have, you know, apparently I've got too much stuff now because I confess that, but did we have everything that we needed or wanted? Maybe everything we needed, but maybe not everything I wanted. Did I, throughout my growing up, did everything turn out perfect? Probably not, but I'm telling you what, in the spiritual side, I am blessed. I'm excited about what God is doing for me. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I begin to think about some of those things. And then this song came to me. It says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to have you ever heard this song? Anybody? A couple of you? Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. And then it says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Just to trust in His presence. Just to trust and walk in His ways. So I challenge you today, as I close, I challenge you today to trust in Him. Trust in His Word. It started at Christmas. In a sense, it started at Christmas. And it's been building from then, ever since. The angels declared it. It must have been something pretty dramatic because there was a king that tried to stamp it out. There was a king that went and killed all the babies in Bethlehem, trying to get a hold of Jesus. There must have been something because there was a time that there was Jesus was crucified on the cross. There must be something about it because there are so many people trying to come against it. And thus it still lives on. Because God so loved me that He gave His only Son for the salvation of me so that I might have eternal life. Not necessarily just in heaven, but I should have life in the spiritual sense. Even right now, God has blessed me and given me life, and it will continue on and on throughout eternity. Let me pray for you. Father God, I just praise Your name, Lord, for these that have come. God, I've rambled so much, God, but there's just so much that's in Your Word, Lord, that we need to understand that it's all for us, that You've made a way for us, Lord. It began at Christmas as a baby was born, a baby, but yet declared to be king. It was a baby that was maybe laid in a manger, but it was declared that He was royal blood. Father God, I just thank You, Lord, that You're just going to give us God, those blessings that even though we don't deserve it, You've just poured out blessings upon us and blessings upon us. So God, as we continue in this season, Lord, as we look back and see Christmas season and those things, the times that we've had, we are blessed. And Lord, as we come into 2020, a new year, Lord, we've declared it to be a new year. We've written it down as a new year. A calendar has been developed, and we make it that we're going to start something new. Lord, I ask You that You just help us. If we're not already serving You, Lord, I ask You that You would help those to make a commitment. Lord, if we've been kind of neglectant of worshiping You and reading Your Word and praying, Lord, I believe Your Word declares that we should be doing those things. I praise Your name, Lord, that You are going to give us opportunities, Lord, that we can speak of Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. You're going to send people by that we're going to be able to have the opportunity to share with them and lead them to Jesus. Tell them how great our God is. So many gods in the world that are dead. They're not living. They're not beneficial. They're not the true. They're not even God. They're only thoughts. Somebody. to be led by a lie. But God, I know that You are the truth. You are the true God. And so, Lord, we just worship You and we just declare that You are Jehovah. You're God. You are God. You are my God. And Lord, as we continue and we enter into the new year, Lord, let us make a commitment that we will worship You even more. We will love You more. We will bless You more. And Lord, in return, I know that You'll bless us. So we give You praise. We give You the glory. We give You the honor. Lord, those things that I've said, Lord, You correct what was wrong. Make it right. Lord, You just allow these people to hear Your word, knowing that, God, You are awesome. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You for allowing me to come and be here with You this morning. Amen.